This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan if you're listening in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junk's. Happy to be joined in studio by Dan Colco, TV host, reporter, play-by-play. He does it all for the Washington Nationals, and he's sitting to my right. He's here. Welcome on opening day.
DK.
Good to see you.
Boys, great to see
What's up, guys?
Man? I haven't been in studio with you in a little bit.
You have not, but I saw you during the What's New at the Ballpark in 2025 just a few days ago, Friday, I believe. And you were there hanging out with Zim as we were testing all the new concessions. I sampled Ryan Zimmerman's rib plate. It was delicious.
Yeah, he was up all night cooking those
things. Yeah, I'm sure he was.
I'm
sure he was slaving away.
Yeah, in the kitchen for hours.
So you do a podcast with them now, right?
That's right. Yeah, every other Friday. So actually tomorrow, our next episode will drop. And we're just two guys talking baseball, talking life, talking DC, having fun. And we're going to raid his cell phone. I'm going to just take that thing.
Go through it.
Go through. It's like the game when you take somebody's cell phone and who's the most famous person and you just call that person.
Okay. Uh-huh.
We're going to do that on the podcast.
Man,
so
that's a great question. I don't think I have.
I wonder who that would be.
I don't think I have many famous people in my cell phone, if any.
I disagree. With that. I'm sure you do. At this point, you guys have been doing this how long now?
I don't know, man.
You've got some connections.
Yeah, but we've never been beat reporters, you know what I mean? Like,
fair enough.
We're not in the locker room.
I don't have that
many good connections. We try and stay away from the locker room. One of the last times we were in the locker room was at spring training years and years ago, and Cakes and I approached Strasburg.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It didn't go well.
Yeah. How do you
think
it went for guys who barely knew Strasburg?
He said he didn't talk to people the day before a start.
That's right.
But it was 2 days before the start. What are you going to do?
But you weren't going to push back, were you?
No. So as soon as we got that rejection, I said,
that might have been the last time.
I said, this is not our comfort zone. Never doing this again.
Yeah.
Haven't done it since.
Yeah, you live and you learn. Yeah.
I don't have Dan Colco in my contact list.
I run into you on the street every other week, basically, at this point. You're breaking news about my engagement to my fiance's family and all sorts of stuff.
Ooh, I didn't know this.
This happened on your air like a year ago.
Well, you're married, though. I went on his Instagram because I told Trump, I was like, didn't he have surgery? And he didn't remember. And then when he's had a couple surgeries. And I saw he got married like day before Christmas. You did the destination wedding.
We did,
ooh,
yes.
Where?
Mexico.
Very
An
nice.
Island off the coast of Cancun. It was something else.
How many did you get to come?
We invited 114 and 105 showed up.
Holy crap. You didn't want that, did you?
We weren't expecting that many. But
when you have a destination wedding like that, you're hoping for some attrition when it comes to
50% maybe.
You don't want to say you have a B list, but like you have some people that you expect you'll be able to invite once some no's come in.
Right.
We didn't get many no's.
Man.
Wow. So but no, it was a blast.
So your second cousins were screwed.
The ancillary invites.
All right, so we were talking about the Nationals with opening day.
Well, real quick,
in the show.
I thought it was cool, and JP brought this up early. We love when we get to work. You know, we pull into our parking spot around 5:30, and the lights are on. That's the best for opening day.
Means we're ready to go.
We're ready to rock and roll. So I'm looking forward to that.
So you know, a couple of these guys have bet totals on the Nationals.
Over 70.5.
And there are greater expectations than the last couple of seasons, but not necessarily great expectations. But let's start on the positive. So Mackenzie Gore is the opening day starter.
Yes.
What can fans expect from Gore this year? Is this guy going to potentially be like all-star level?
He's
one of the better pitchers?
He's always had that ability. Mm-hmm. And it's been about him working through kind of the emotional ups and downs. He's a very fiery guy on the mound. He's a very competitive guy. He expects a lot out of himself. And I think sometimes in the past that would hinder him, that something would go wrong. He'd give up a bloop hit. He'd walk a guy and it would maybe spiral a little bit on him because he got outside of himself. He's dialed that in over the last year plus. And he struggled last year. And I think a lot of times you talk to big leaguers and everyone's going to struggle in the major leagues. It's about how you respond to those struggles. Most of the second half of last season, he did not pitch well. Mm-hmm. His final, I think it was 7 starts of the year. He pitched to like a 1.15 ERA or something crazy. Like he had the lowest hits per 9 total of any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. He ended the year on a run.
Yeah.
And I think there's high
hopes
for him. So
his overall numbers look decent based on
they look decent. 3.9 ERA, high strikeout total. But for him, it's about, how can I be more consistent from start to start? We know that the highs are going to be really, really high. How can he bring that floor up a little bit? And how can he pitch deeper into games more consistently? How can he get six and two-thirds innings out of his 105 pitches as opposed to struggling to get through 5 on some starts?
Right. How do you feel about today going against that lineup?
I mean, anytime you go against this version of the Phillies with Zach Wheeler on the mound and as deep of a lineup as they have, you know, they're a formidable opponent. But I think the Nationals as a whole are feeling confident coming out of spring. I think they feel like they can surprise some people this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a super competitive division. We know this with the Phillies and the Mets and the Braves. But this team has more talent on it than it's had the last few years. And you've got guys that are starting to establish themselves now.
Right.
And you add in Nathaniel Lowe, who I think is going to be a really good piece over there at first base defensively and a silver slugger in the past. You get Josh Bell back. Paul DeJong hit 24 home runs last year. Put him at third base where he's a great defender. I think the improvements this offseason to go along with these guys getting more comfortable, the younger guys, I think this team could surprise people.
So the starting lineup or starting outfield today will be Cruz, Young, Wood.
Yes.
Left, center, right.
Cruz and right, Young and center.
Wood and left.
Yes.
Ah.
Same as last year.
Okay.
Cruz ultimately, I guess it depends on how good Jacob Young is.
That's right.
Is he ultimately a center fielder?
I think you talk to front office people, and a guy like him has more value in center field because he can play a great defense, and his overall, you know, typically corner outfielders, you want maybe a little bit more pop in the bat. So his offensive skill set maybe puts him in center field in some people's eyes, but Jacob Young, he
was
should
really
have won a gold glove last
year. Yeah, he was really good.
So we'll see how all that plays out. But Dylan Cruz, a lot of people are really... We had Mark DeRosa on our podcast that's dropping tomorrow, the 11th inning podcast with Colco and Zim. Little plug there.
Yeah, of course.
He said
DeRosa's awesome.
He's the best. Yeah. MLB Network host, former National. He said he's picking Dylan Cruz to win the NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And that's over Roky Sasaki, you know, who the Dodgers pitcher. A lot of people are really high on Dylan this year.
So C.J. Abrams has been really good, young player. He had his little, I don't know what you call it, his casino trip that ended with a suspension. Do you expect him to take it to another level?
another guy, kind of like McKenzie, that the highs had been very high. I mean, he made the All-Star team last year.
His first half was really good.
He had two out of the first 3 months of last season. His numbers were among the best 10 hitters in baseball.
Yep.
In baseball. And again, it's about like, how can we be more consistent? How can we raise that floor so that even if we're not hitting, you know, 10 bombs in a month and slugging a ton, that the batting average isn't 160 and I'm reaching base at a 200 clip. He doesn't walk a lot. So you would love, with a guy of his speed and ability to be dynamic on the base paths, for him to just be on base more consistently somehow. How can he hit, you know, 260 at a consistent level as opposed to the fluctuations between the really highs and the really lows? But like McKenzie, the talent is there.
Right.
And he came to spring with a great head on his shoulders and looking ahead, not behind, and ready to attack this year and solidify himself.
In June last year, he hit 373.
Yeah.
In August, he hit 176.
Yeah.
And I believe in September, it was in that one range, too. Hold on, I got it right here.
Yeah, second half.
He hit
half
187 in August. So,
and a lot of first-pitch swinging, and you know, that works when you're hitting homers on the first pitch of the game, but when you're not and you're the leadoff hitter, like, just needs to be more consistent. And I think everybody expects that he can, and he will.
Right. What are your projections on James Wood and his numbers? Because he was killing the ball in the spring.
Yes.
And I've seen projections at, you know, 19 homers, 21 homers. I think he can get over that.
Feels low to me.
Feels low. I think he can get in that mid-20s, but what are your projections for him?
He had, what, 8, 9 last year in less than half of a full season. And I think another guy, it's really important to get these guys experience at the big leagues and then give them a full year. And that's what James got. That's what, to a lesser extent, Dylan Cruz got last year. I think James has the potential to have a huge year.
Yeah.
If he can bring that strikeout rate down a little bit, everything is loud. Like, you hear the expression, it's a different sound off his bat. Mm-hmm. That's James Wood. Right. And it's not just pull side homers. If anything, it's more to the opposite.
No, that
field.
Line drive one in spring training probably didn't go above 20 feet in height.
He's got great opposite field.
It's crazy.
Absurd.
So people are going to really like watching James Wood.
You see somebody that, and I don't know that it matters for a baseball player, because Daryl Strawberry was always thin, but he's a taller, thinner guy, also left-handed bat. Is he getting thicker? Like, does he work out in the weight room, or is that just going to be kind of...
Yeah, he certainly works out. He's not... I wouldn't say that he's thin. He's just 6'7", and it looks...
He's strong.
He's got weight on his frame. It's just when you're that tall... You know,
if you saw him walk in here, you go, oh my gosh, that's a freaking... Well, first of all, you think he's a small forward in the NBA.
Right.
But
you put him next
to
Dylan Cruz and Jacob Young in the outfield, and it's quite a dichotomy there.
What about the defensive questions for James? I think James has to get a little bit better defensively.
So he hadn't played as much left field as he had center or
right
before he came up to the big leagues and was given left field every day. And it's different out there.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, the angles are different. The ball moves differently off a left-hander's bat. Same, a right-hander hooks the ball to that way. So you need to get acclimated to that. I think he'll continue to get better. I don't know that he's going to be a Gold Glover out there this year.
He's fine, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. And he gets to the ball quicker than it looks like he's getting to the ball because of how long his strides are.
Yeah.
And I think... you know, I've talked to a lot of big league outfielders about, like, you get to the ball quickly, you get it out of your hands quickly, and that'll stop a lot of guys from running on you. You don't need to have the strongest arm, and he's got a decent arm. So I think he'll be better out there. He'll settle in.
Joined by Dan Colco, TV host, reporter, play-by-play for the Nationals. You mentioned guys running. The Nats specialized in that last year, led the majors in stolen bases. Are we going to see them atop that stat again this year? Do you see this more
of the
same?
Oh, I hope so.
We could. I think what I personally would like to see, I haven't necessarily talked to Nationals coaches about this, is I'd like to see maybe a little less aggressive recklessness on the, or however you want to frame that. I think less reckless aggressiveness, I guess, is the way to say it. That there were times last year that they had to manufacture runs with...
Right, because they had no pop.
...being aggressive on the base paths. And it felt like sometimes they were running just to run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to get thrown out going first to third. It's one thing down by one to get thrown out trying to steal second base late in a game, but they were getting picked off a lot. There were a lot of they led the majors in times getting picked off. There were a lot of needless outs on the bases in addition to the aggressive ones.
Right.
So I think you find a way to rein that in somehow. But if you have a lineup that has C.J. Abrams, who has the ability to steal 40,
yep.
Jacob Young, who has the ability to steal 40 or 50, Dylan could easily steal 25, and then you know some other guys here and there.
Louis
stole almost 20 last year, I think. Luis Garcia.
He did, yeah.
So the potential is there, but you have more power this year. You hope that Nathaniel Lowe slugs you 25. Josh Bell gets you 25. Paul DeJong gets you 20. CJ gets you 20.
So you might not need to run as much. Yeah.
Hey, tell me about my Home Depot guy. I just kind of read about him today.
Awesome story.
I was like, this is going to be my favorite guy. He's like working like a regular dude at Home Depot and Cakes at Publix year before.
Look, when you're on a minor league salary,
totally.
These guys have to take on second jobs sometimes to make ends meet, which kind of sucks.
But you guys remember Tanner Roark, who with us for a long time. He would work two jobs in the offseason in addition to training.
And he was
to
around
try and
for
become
a
big leaguer. Brad Lord worked at Home Depot, and he was slinging Christmas trees around that place and wearing the orange bib and the whole deal. And going into spring training, this was his first big league spring training. I don't think anybody expected him to be hanging around late in spring. He had a great year last year, made his way up, I think, three different levels of the farm system, and his numbers were really good. But he was kind of like a 93 to 95 guy with the fastball, a depth piece that could maybe this year become Mitchell Parker or DJ Hurst, kind of be the next guy to surprise people. And then he just keeps hanging around in spring, and he's throwing 98, and his slider is nastier than it was before. And all of a sudden, people are like, Brad Lord could be a guy for us.
How the hell do you get your speed to go up to a 98
when
you're a 92 guy?
It's all about these developmental labs. And you make slight mechanical adjustments, and this is the way guys are training these days. And it's not just minor leaguers and big leaguers now. It's the youth game, which is a whole nother conversation that we could have. But it's not abnormal for a guy to add two, three ticks to his fastball.
I mean, he's caught Davey's eye. Some of the quotes from Davey: he attacks the strike zone. He comes after hitters. I like that. I really like that a lot. So, like, he's clearly caught the eye of Davey and the coaching staff and made the opening day roster. So,
one thing that's cool about spring training is, especially early on when guys are working on the backfields, you get close to the action. And I was behind. The hitters are hitting. There's just a screen behind them. And then there's a bunch of Nats front office people and coaches back there. And they let me stand back there, which was very nice of them. And I watched Brad Lord throw a live BP. And some of the established big league hitters came out of the batter's box and were like, ooh.
Who's this?
Yeah.
This is nice.
I'm kind of fascinated by how baseball has changed with the iPads.
Yeah.
But I still don't really know what the guys are doing. You're there all the time. How much are they using these things? What are they looking at in the dugouts?
They're using them a ton. And longtime big leaguers would argue from days past that they're using them far too much.
Right.
And that they're not watching the game anymore in between their at-bats. One thing that's interesting about Dylan Cruz, he's kind of old school. And he just great baseball savvy on this kid. You watch Dylan Cruz after an at-bat or in and a half inning when the Nationals are hitting, he's on the top row of the bench.
Is he?
Watching.
Right.
Watching hitters, giving his guys some encouragement from the bench and seeing everything that's happening out there. A lot of guys are just, they got their head in that iPad. They want to watch back their last at-bat. They want to see if the slider moved as much as it looked like it did in the batter's box. And there's value there. You can learn, you can gain stuff, and that's why so many guys do it these days. But there are a lot of people that have been around the game for a long time who feel like there's too much reliance on the video these days.
Does Lord, what's his delivery? Is he over the top guy, or has he come a little side?
I only watched the one live BP, and I didn't see him much last year in the minors. I forget exactly.
Okay.
But
he throws hard.
But he throws hard.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I think he was topping out last year at maybe 95, 96, and he was throwing 98s in spring with regularity.
That's awesome.
So,
well, it's going to be fun to watch today, man. And I know you'll be doing you know, 50 or so play-by-play games. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see you on
that. It's a lot of fun. Thanks.
I bet. But thanks for joining us, bro.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, great to see you guys.
That's opening day.
Pumped that we're talking baseball again.
The weather's going to be great today.
I know. Dry, sunshine.
60 degrees will be perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, if you had to answer our poll, though, Brett, to bring it back, as you're a sports guy, is Willard going or staying?
Oh, God. So I grew up in Silver Spring. I'm a Maryland hoops guy.
Mm-hmm.
I 24, 36 hours ago, I was feeling great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was too.
Not so good this morning. No.
Probably not.
I mean, my goodness, the turn that this has taken. And I just feel bad for the kids, man, that they're going into the biggest hoops game of their life.
There's no focus on the game. None whatsoever.
Nobody's talking about Derek Queen this morning. Nope. Nobody's talking about Juju Reese and how, you know, how he could make an Elite Eight.
Yeah, but the other part of the story is, this we don't know, is let's say the two guards, they might already be talking to people in the transfer portal.
They have to fix this portal thing. They have to move it after the tournament's done.
Absolutely.
This is a mess.
Crazy.
They've got to limit how many times they transfer. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. They should say, all right, you can transfer as much as you want. The first time you transfer, you can play the following year. The next time you decide to transfer, you're sitting out a year.
Right. By the way, this coming
that
from
would
a guy.
Eliminate that. Right?
This coming,
they wouldn't.
This coming from a guy who started at Richmond, then went to JUCO in San Diego and ended at Salisbury State.
I didn't have to. He wasn't getting paid to go to this spot.
Yeah, a little different back then. Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Dan, thanks so much for the time.
I think they're going to make some changes.
We appreciate it. Have a great opening day. And,
thanks, boys.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Good to see you guys.
Dan Colco, you can follow him on Twitter, at Mass and Colco. When we come back, we'll do Cakes' entertainment page next. Coming up in the final segment after the EP, we'll give you a chance, two chances actually, to win tickets to go see Live and Collective Soul when they perform together at Jiffy Lube Live this summer. The date of that show is Sunday, August 3rd.
Can we do Name That Collective Soul song?
Oh, good luck with that.
I mean,
I'm
I guess we could.
We already did Name the Live song.
I mean, we could have DJ Valdez cue up a few Collective Soul ditties. They actually have a good number of hits.
I think they do.
Do they?
I might be hard-pressed to name them when I hear them.
Listening to them, you would definitely recognize the songs.
100%.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe that's the way we'll give away those tickets. Keep listening for your chance to win. Right now it's time for
Valdez hates me right now.
Entertainment page driven by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner. For the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine, get over to BMW of Fairfax and ask for EB's girl, Miriam, the general manager, or check them out at BMWofFairfax.com. So Drab and I were talking about this, I think, yesterday or the day before, where Daryl Pines, the president of the University of Maryland, was teasing on his Twitter that he had a big announcement coming. And I said, maybe it's the news about Kevin Willard re-upping or, you know, contract extension for Kevin Willard to continue coaching hoops at the University of Maryland. And Drab said, I don't think that's it, because at the end of the tweet, there was a cryptic, like, green emoji at the end of the of Daryl Pines' tweet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, whatever. I didn't think about it until I saw the news as to who Maryland's commencement speaker will be in 2025. Have you seen this news, Jason?
Well, I know Valdez mentioned it earlier today. Did he say Kermit the Frog?
Kermit the Frog is going to be the commencement speaker for the University of Maryland in 2025.
All right, explain that to me.
Because Jim Henson is an alum from the University of Maryland. He created the Muppets and Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Fozzie
Bear.
Jim Henson no longer with us. So you can't have Jim Henson, but you can have one of his famous creations. Kermit the Frog will be delivering the commencement address in College Park.
I think our guy Dennis is fired up because he does the Junkies puppet shows. So maybe puppets are making a comeback.
Puppets are big. Puppets are big in 2025, apparently. So Kermit the Frog delivering the graduation
speech.
I'll
tell you this. That's memorable. I went to the University of Maryland. I graduated from the University of Maryland. Mm-hmm. I don't remember my commencement speaker.
I remember my daughter's because it was last year. It was Wes Moore, Governor Wes Moore.
Okay.
But, I mean, I like Wes Moore, but I'm sorry. Kermit the Frog is infinitely more popular and well-known than the governor of the state.
Will Miss Piggy have a cameo?
I don't know if Miss Piggy will be there or not, but I know that Kermit the Frog will be there on campus this May.
I like that Jason had to ask if Jim Henson was still with us. He's only been dead for like 40 years.
Has it been long?
Yeah,
been 40 been dead years? For a while.
Oh, I kind of, my vibe was, yeah, he was no longer with us. I was just, yeah, clarifying.
My commencement speaker, I just looked it up. I mean, I knew who he was.
Yeah.
Tom McMillan.
Okay, that's a pretty big name, but it's
played again, basketball.
He pales in comparison to Kermit the Frog's popularity.
He was a congressman.
He was ours too.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you could walk
at
down
Salisbury?
Oh, I'm sorry, in high school, DeMatha.
Like you, if you walk down the street,
I don't remember who the Salisbury commencement was.
If you had a,
I barely went.
If you had a poster of Kermit the Frog and you walked down the street in Tokyo, people are going to know who Kermit the Frog is.
Yes.
They're not going to know who Tom McMillan is. They're not going to know who Wes Moore is. That's a big get.
I will concede Kermit the Frog more popular than Juju Watkins. But you're dead wrong on Juju.
I mean, Kermit the Frog is way more popular than Juju Watkins. You can keep coming at me with this Juju Watkins is like a top five most famous athlete on the planet.
Nobody ever said that.
I'm just not buying it. I mean, you can keep trying to peddle that over here.
Nobody ever said that. We just said she was a star and you disagreed.
I don't know that I disagreed that she was a star. I said she's a big star
in
her small pond. But then I get pushback. Drab just wants to keep telling me how she's in a State Farm commercial with Pat Mahomes, who sounds like Kermit the Frog. See, it all kind of keeps coming full circle here.
I don't think
here.
State Farm is putting little pond people in their commercials.
Maybe I'm wrong. It would be the first time, but maybe I'm actually wrong on Juju.
Anyway,
Watkins.
I don't really have a problem with Kermit being the commencement speaker. I don't know if people have a problem with it.
No, again, it's something you'll never forget that Kermit the Frog was your commencement speaker.
Valdez, who was yours?
I don't know.
See?
What year did you graduate?
I bet if it was Fozzie Bear, you would remember it.
Yeah.
You would remember.
Dr. Bruce Jarrell.
I mean, sorry, that guy's a nobody. I mean, I don't care what he's done. He may have actually cured cancer, but he's a nobody. What are his bona fides, JP?
Oh, I don't even know.
Well, I know he didn't cure cancer.
I know he hasn't.
Yeah, okay.
You can confirm that. Duke University upset at the fact that one of the main characters in White Lotus is wearing a Duke t-shirt when he's having suicidal ideations during the show.
Ideations, nice word.
Thank you. Yeah, are you impressed by the vocab, JP?
Yeah, he has a lot of kind of daydreams, is what I would say.
Yeah.
Daydreams of killing himself, killing others.
So the university took the unusual step of issuing a statement condemning the HBO show for a scene in which Timothy, played by Jason Isaacs, who's a really good actor. I mean, that dude was the antagonist in The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Where, spoiler alert, he kills Heath Ledger and Mel Gibson gets super Rick. He was the British general in that. He's also in Black Hawk Down. EB would rave about his work in the Harry Potter series. He's in that. I mean, that dude's an accomplished actor.
No. I'll say this. White Lotus has really good acting.
So he's wearing a Duke
across the board.
He's wearing a Duke t-shirt while visualizing himself taking his own life. So here's the quote. His wife's
ideations, as you said.
This is from Duke's VP for Communications, Marketing, and Public Affairs. The White Lotus not only uses our brand without permission, but in our view uses it on imagery that is troubling, does not reflect our values or who we are, and simply goes too far. That's from Frank Tramble. Suicide is the second leading cause of death on college campuses. As imagery from the show is being shared widely across social media, we're using our brand to promote mental health awareness and remind people that help is available.
Now, to be fair,
I definitely know Jason Isaacs is. He's good.
Great actor might be a stretch. He makes the hall of very good actors.
He's
at a
very
minimum.
Good in the show, White Lotus. To be fair, the family is from North Carolina.
Correct.
And, you know,
so that makes sense.
Yeah, I think
there's a connection.
I think they're from Durham. They say that they're
from Durham. Yep. So I guess the dad and the mom are Dukies, and the kids are all Tar Heels, or at least two of the kids are Tar Heels.
No, the dad went to Duke, the mom went to North Carolina.
Ah, okay. There it is. So Piper Laurie,
yes.
Is that her name?
Yes.
Not sure if that's her name.
Is it the rack? The Ratcliffe's?
Ratliff's.
Ratliff's.
Yeah. She couldn't handle being poor. That's for sure.
She definitely doesn't want to.
Yeah,
she
that's, does, that's she Jason as a woman.
She doesn't want to be a brokey. She'd rather be dead than be a brokey.
How's my guy Walt Goggins in the
Walt
in the
Goggins, show? He's very, here. The word I would use for him, miserable.
Oh, is he?
He's just a miserable guy.
Yeah.
Now his backstory is that his life is kind of ruined by somebody that he's seeking to have a meeting with in Thailand. I know I'm giving a lot of background,
right.
But he's a miserable guy. He's never happy, ever.
I think Goggins is similar to a lot of his characters,
yep.
Outside of one. A lot of his characters are always kind of complicated, and he's got a lot of angst.
He's a good actor, man.
He did a sitcom, though, called The Last Unicorn or The Unicorn on CBS, which I watched, which was he was like a widow, and then all these chicks are kind of hitting on
he's
him.
He's a widower. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Sorry, widower. Yes.
Yeah, he's a cranky, miserable dude.
Yeah.
But he did have a very...
I've watched some of those episodes. I thought that was terrible.
He did have notable dialogue with Sam Rockwell that we talked about last. We talk about The White Lotus a lot.
It's a good show.
Well, Walt Goggins is spectacular.
And Valdez and I were talking about we would be doing some White Lotus role-playing if Gary Williams flew out to San Francisco, kicked Kevin Willard out of the arena, and then coached the Terps for the rest of the tournament. There'd be a lot of White Lotus role-playing going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys can use your imagination for that.
I don't even want to think about it.
Valdez, this is something. This is our Super Bowl. Here's the headline. Pennsylvania woman pays $12 for alleged Renoir artwork. I mean, we talk about this all the time. Why can't you stumble upon like a Picasso
because
when you're going to a flea market in Pasadena?
We don't go antiquing.
Well, when are we doing the dumpster diving?
We don't.
I was ready to do the dumpster diving, and did that die?
Yeah, just die.
I thought you guys already
did it. I thought we were going to have a competition.
I was hoping you guys would already do it.
Because I might actually be able to find said painting.
It died on the vine,
I think. No, it didn't die. Feinstein did.
Oh, okay.
Let me explain. That's what ruined the bit that first weekend.
Okay, understood.
And then Eric Bickle is gone every weekend. We can't do the bit if he's gone.
That's fine. You know, he can go away as long as he wants.
Yeah, I mean, behind the scenes, we each kind of submit weeks that we're trying to, you know, take a summer vacation or something like that. EB almost makes it impossible. It's like, he's off that Friday. He's off that Monday. He's off that Friday.
He took the whole summer off.
How many vacation days does he have?
I don't know. 67.
We got to do a vacation audit. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
So anyway, back to the Renoir. This woman paid $12 for a drawing that could be an original piece by French impressionist Pierre Auguste Renoir. Now, this woman owns an antique store, shocker, in Easton, Pennsylvania. She told ABC News that she found the piece at a collector's auction in Montgomery County, PA, back in January. Now, it doesn't say how much it could be worth.
Sounds like it's valuable.
But, I mean, I'm sure it's worth hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million or more.
I wouldn't know the difference. See, that would be my problem.
I
would be, let's go back to the dumpster diving, and I would see a painting and be like, oh, this sucks.
Right.
Because I just wouldn't know.
But when she brought the
I never even took an art class. Didn't you take an art class?
Yeah, I took the biggest, what I thought was the biggest joke art class at Towson.
It was difficult.
Well, the name of the class, the technical name of the class was Art in the Culture. But the nickname for the class on campus was Art in the Dark. Because you go into the lecture hall and they turn the lights out. And then all of a sudden there's a bunch of slides up on the video screen about this famous artwork. And then as soon as they turn the lights off, everybody's hung over and everybody just art in the dark.
Then
3 weeks later, there's a test about all of the slides that were going by while you're comatose in the class. But somehow I passed.
We had a class like that at Maryland. Everyone called it Rocks for Jocks. It was geology. It was a geology class.
It's a great name.
Because,
it's a great name.
Because I think the teacher didn't take attendance and gave you the answers to the final exam the day before.
I love it.
I know. It's a silly higher education.
Yeah. All right. Final story.
That's why Kevin Willard wants to leave.
Final story on the EP. Goodbye, friends. Jim Nantz says he plans to retire from calling the Masters in 2036.
That's a story.
He's got another 12 years.
11 years from now.
11 years, yeah.
He's calling his shot. 11 years. He's hanging it up.
Hope I'm alive in 11
years. He said, seems like a pretty good exit point. April 14th, 2036. That's my scheduled retirement date. It would be a perfect place to walk out.
By the way, Jason's hilarious. What? I don't know how many times he do it. He's definitely on his bank online bank.
I mean, the guy knows his statement down to the penny.
Yeah, I got
to
see what's in there. I got to see how much money my daughters have spent.
Always. All right, that's your EP. When we come back, we'll give you a chance to win not one, but two pair of tickets to go see Live at Collective Soul. They're at Jiffy Lube Live this summer, so keep listening for your chance to win. You can start calling right now at 800-636-1067. At stake, a pair of tickets to go see Live and Collective Soul Sunday, August 3rd at Jiffy Lube Live. Our Lady Peace and Graylin also on the bill. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. It'll be very simple. We'll play a snippet from a Collective Soul tune. If you can identify it, the first to do so wins the tickets. It's very easy.
Real quick, I wanted to bring up Pat McAfee with LeBron James yesterday. Did any of you guys watch it?
I saw snippets.
And I think Jimmy Traina pointed this out too on Twitter. I watched a little of it.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee allows cursing on his show.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN apparently allows some cursing to go through, but half of the conversations were edited out. What? Like, not bleeped.
Can't you just watch the unedited version on YouTube, or no?
I guess you could watch it on YouTube, but I was watching it on TV. I was at home having lunch, and
Mike Maher wants you to watch all of the content on YouTube.
Yes.
The 106.7
How long
the
fan was it?
YouTube.
Was it an hour? Was
over
it...
an hour and 15 minutes or something. I watched a lot of it, a lot of the clips.
Yeah.
Did you notice that too, or you just saw clips? If you were watching it live on TV, it was kind of awful to watch.
I'm not watching Pat McAfee at noon on TV, but I did see the clips later in the day, last night.
Anything interesting that they talked about?
Is that Mike, the MJ, doesn't talk to him.
Oh, MJ. Oh, really?
Yeah, and he basically says Mike's too competitive to talk to me, and when I'm retired, then we can be friends, but he won't talk to me as I'm still putting up numbers.
Yeah,
wow. That was interesting. He also ripped into Stephen A. Smith. Remember Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James had the little standoff?
At the end of,
I believe it was the third quarter of a game, LeBron approached him and basically said, keep my son's name out of your mouth.
Yes.
And then, he basically said that, you can't say what he said, and it got bleeped out, mm-hmm. but he was implying that Stephen A. Smith, anytime that LeBron mentions him, he's in his underwear at home, loving it.
Oh, that's.
And then
that's
I think Stephen A. Smith, Mr. Tough Guy, later in the day said, if he said that to Stephen A.'s face, Stephen A. would deck him.
I'm sure. Well, yeah. I mean, isn't LeBron a foot taller than Stephen A. Smith?
That's not exactly what he said. Yeah, he said if LeBron touched me, I would have decked him, but it would have been over with. He would have smashed me,
of course, right?
But he said nobody touches me.
Right.
LeBron wouldn't have felt that if he decked him.
Right.
He also said
who says deck?
Old people.
So hold on. So McAfee
As
does
a brother,
his,
what's up?
McAfee does his show from Indianapolis, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's right. Because the Lakers were playing the Pacers.
Correct.
They were in Indianapolis. Okay, gotcha.
And he did the interview the day before on the day off.
Inside the studio. Gotcha.
So it was a taped interview. But it was a lot. It was so many bleeps.
Mm.
He hit that buzzer beater last night, and then right after went on Instagram and posted a video of Stephen A. Smith hitting mitts.
Oh, he did?
Looking showy.
It's a funny bit. It's a good bit. All right, let's get, we'll just do one listener at a time. You can play the tune, Valdez, and then I will go to the callers and see who is first to ID the Collective Soul Diddy. If they identify it, they win tickets to the show Live at Collective Soul at Jiffy Lube Live this summer.
Collective Soul from?
Collective Soul, I think they're from your home state of Pennsylvania.
No, incorrect.
They're not? Mm.
Okay. They're SEC fans.
They're from Birmingham, Alabama.
They're from Georgia. Ah. From Atlanta.
All right, play the tunes, Valdez.
Great song.
Heard that a million times on this show.
It's an instantly recognizable, like, guitar riff. I don't know the title.
I don't either.
I'd be hard-pressed to name it. Let's see if George can name it. If he can, he wins. George, name that Collective Soul ditty.
Heavy.
Winner?
Nice job.
Right out of the gate. Congrats, sir. You win. You
quick.
Get a pair of tickets to
good
Live and Collective Soul Sunday,
thanks.
August 3rd at Jiffy Lube Live. Our Lady Peace and Graylin also appearing. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. It's a good double bill. A lot of 90s hits are going to be played on August 3rd at JLL. So enjoy.
Ed Roland is the lead singer for Collective Soul.
Couldn't name one band member of Collective Soul.
And Dean Roland, his brother, plays guitar.
Very good.
Pretty sure they're brothers.
Jason, you said they're from Georgia. I saw that Georgia had another guy
they're
super speeding,
Stop
right?
Stockbridge.
Is Georgia the school that has had the rash of guys speeding?
Yeah,
so
I mean,
this one...
he was going 107 or something?
107.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, that is an absurd speed to be traveling. 107 miles per hour?
I don't think I've ever reached 107. I've tickled 100.
100, not, yeah, I don't know if I've ever reached triple digits.
Maybe once or twice in my life.
I mean, what's the urgency to drive 110?
No urgency.
I mean, if you're in a really fast car, you want to see how fast it goes, what it feels like. It's crazy. It's psycho.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
You blow a tire at 110.
You're done.
It's sayonara. You're doing 100 flips.
Correct.
I would think.
Yeah, I did see that. They've had maybe, it seems like 10 guys get popped for speeding.
Can they have these guys go to a remedial driving course that could be part of their credits towards earning a degree? Hey, lesson number one, don't drive 100 miles per hour.
Very right, quick, before we end the show, I think we should make a prediction. I want to hear your prediction. So Maryland plays tonight.
Yep.
If they lose, by the time we do the show tomorrow, will we know Kevin Willard's fate?
I mean, the game's not
I think if they win, we won't.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm just playing the scenario.
I would say yes.
Lose.
If they lose, I think there will be a decision made or it'll come out.
Right.
Come out during our show the next day.
Well, I don't
day.
Know if it'll be during the show, but it'll come out
at some point.
You'll just
quickly.
Hear from a more reliable source.
Yeah.
I'll piggyback on that.
I think the decision should come out even if they win, but that's just me.
Valdez and I think that Gary Williams should hop a private jet to San Francisco and then throw Kevin Willard out of the arena and coach the Terps
well,
for
here's
the rest of the tournament.
Here's the other question.
It's a great idea.
Does Maryland beat Florida tonight?
40% chance. I think they have a good chance. I didn't watch
They're
Florida
throughout
the season.
They're 6.5-point dogs. They're about, I think Florida's minus 255 on the money.
Hey, more importantly, who should I pick for my Survivor pick today?
Can't tell you that.
Come on.
I picked Bama Cakes.
You've got to give me that pick before 7:09 tonight.
I'll put a reminder on my phone at 7:05.
Did you get a pick from EB?
No, here's the question. Should I remind Bickle? Or should it,
yes.
He can get eliminated by not sending me a pick.
You can remind him. It's fine.
By 7:10.
If you reminded him right now with a text, he still might forget.
Yeah, I know.
Very high probability. Slips his mind.
Oh, that's right.
But if you don't remind him,
no chance.
I would bet everything
I
own.
I would too.
Everything. And everything Valdez owns.
He's not going to send. I'll send
that. He would not get
the
pick.
This is what you do. You send me your pick, and then I'll send out the mass text, and then he'll say, oh, I forgot.
And then he'll just piggyback on our picks.
Who knows?
Probably.
Besides Maryland and Florida, he probably doesn't even know who's in
the
Sweet 16.
Who's the biggest fave on the board tonight?
Tonight?
Yep.
I would say probably Duke.
I can't burn them. They might win the whole thing.
Well, I mean, you want to? You told me after the first round, it's all about survival.
That is true.
So, what are you going to do?
I might take Bama.
Take an underdog.
I could take Bama.
You already used the Terps.
You could.
Already used the Terps. I've used St. John's. They gone.
Yep.
I've used Auburn, Iowa State, Zona, and Purdue.
Yeah. So you could take Texas Tech, Duke.
Got a lot of options.
You can take Florida.
You don't have that many options.
Emotional
hedge.
You
have seven options tonight.
All right, we got to get out of here. We are done for the day. Don't forget to listen for Nats opening day, first pitch a little bit after 4 p.m. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next.